This is the Tree of Life Ministries podcast. Our mission is to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope this message is inspiring, encouraging, and it challenges you. Wherever you're listening from, we hope that you enjoy and that God will transform your life through today's message.
We're glad to see you here at this 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning here at Tree of Life. Thank you for being here today. If you're visiting with us, we're really, really glad to have you with us. If you're looking for a church family, we'd love to be open our doors to you and say we'd love to have you in our family, and we'll treat you like family, and we'll treat you so many ways you got to like one of them by the end of the day, and we just let you know that we love you and we'll do our best to love you. Regular attenders, faithful attenders, thank you for your faithfulness week after week and for all that you do and all that you've done, and for those who are faithfully watching through the internet today. Some that watch regularly and some that are tuning in today for the first time, we're glad to have you as well being a part of this service. I'd like for you to turn with me to go almost to the back of the Bible and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And I'm going to continue this study that we have started. And if you're here today and you weren't here in the past weeks, it's okay, because I pick up different at a different spot every time. So we can fill in the gaps as we'll do each week. But I want you to hear what the Word of the Lord has to say today. And I pray that this will be more than just a sermon or a message. It will be a meal from God that will strengthen you, that will encourage you, and that will help you through this time that you're in your life. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 5. I'm only going to read one verse. And all I'm going to work out of today is this one verse. Listen to the words really carefully, and then we're going to break this. I like to call it dissect it. We're going to just dissect it and put it back together again, where I hope even the smallest child in the building will be able to understand it. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now I want to read it again, and I want you to just be thinking on it as we go into this verse. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It's great to read that verse of scripture, but you know what's even greater? It's when you understand it. When you really understand it and you see what he's saying and you see how he is building that verse to show us some things that I know that I'd never seen before until I started really studying this verse out. This is prayer time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer today, and if you have a special request, please slip your hand in the air as we want to pray for all the requests that's in this building. If you have a request through the internet, raise your hand too. We can't see your hand, but God can, and we want you to be a part of this service. I want us to pray today for several that I've been working with the week, that God would just speak into their lives, and some that I've heard from during the week. But I want us to pray for a regular attender through Facebook or the internet service. And that's Richard Morgan, all the way down in Danville, Virginia. And Richard tunes in every week to Tree of Life. He's got people tuning in down in the Danville area or trying to get them to tune in. We want to pray for him and pray for his friend, Bobby Dalton. Bobby has gone through a lot of sickness, but Bobby is coming back up again. We want to pray for Troy Trent, who's normally here at 8 o'clock. He came to 9:15, but he's been really fighting sciatica really, really bad. I want to pray for Doris Mann. Doris standing right here in front of me, but she's getting ready to go for surgery, heart surgery tomorrow, early morning. And so I'm going to be there to pray for you before you go into surgery in the morning, but we're going to all pray for you today before you face that heart surgery tomorrow. I want you to pray for someone that I met just a while back, doesn't attend this church, but his name is Ronald Gallier. Ronald is, unless the Lord changes things, is at the end of his life. And I went over to see him the other day and talked with him, asked him, was he ready to meet the Lord? He said, yes, I'm ready to meet the Lord. But, you know, even though we're ready to meet the Lord, we have loved ones that we really don't want to have to leave behind at times. And that's his thought, is that, you know, I've got a son and a wife and I'd like for God to heal me. And so we want to pray that God will heal Ronald Gallier. Karen Moreland, who has been fighting with breast cancer, and we want to pray for her that God will strengthen her. We just picked up and started the grief class again on Wednesday night, and I want you to pray for those that are you don't see in here on Wednesday that are normally here or probably over in the grief class, and a lot of grief, a lot of things people are dealing with in their life that God can deliver. He can deliver from drugs and alcohol. He can also help you through your grief. He can help you through your trials and tribulation. So let's ask the Lord today to not allow this to go over our head, under our feet, but directly into our heart. My prayer is that regardless of age, handicap, or disability, that everyone will be able to hear what's being said. Always pray, not just on Sunday, but every day pray for your military, your law enforcement, your first responders, your doctors, your nurses, your truck drivers, those that are working hard to make sure we have what we have. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that this is a time that you have given us that we can come into this house, this place, or we can tune in some way, shape, or form. Heavenly Father, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. A time, Heavenly Father, where we get to sing praise songs and love songs to you because you're great and greatly to be praised. A time, Heavenly Father God, where we get to talk to you through praise. And now, Lord God, the time comes that you get to talk to us through your word. So, Heavenly Father God, we have a personal relationship with you that's built on communication, us speaking to you, you speaking to us. And Lord, we just pray that for the first half of this service that you receive the praises that was coming to you from this congregation. Heavenly Father, that was our way of telling you that we love you. And Heavenly Father, now we're going to be the ones that's seated and we're going to be the ones that hear from you. It's your way of telling us that you love us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for us, that you have a purpose for us. And we thank you, Lord God, for this relationship. We pray today, Lord God, for all that have been mentioned, that Heavenly Father God, that have been mentioned by an uplifted hand, that Lord God, that hand that represents lives, that represents people, not just five fingers in the air, but people. And Lord God, we lift these people up to you. Some need to be saved. Some need to be healed. Some need to be delivered. Some need hope. Some need a purpose. But Lord God, we lift them to you. We lift up every unsaved person in this world before you today, that your saving grace would go into their life and people would accept you as their Lord and their Savior while they still can. We pray, Heavenly Father God, today for Richard Morgan, Lord, that you touch Richard and heal his body. And Bobby Dalton, that you would touch Bobby and continue to heal his body. And Troy Trent, Lord God, we pray for Jerry Childress and Doris Mann and Ronald Gallier, Lord God, and Karen Moreland, Lord, and all those that are grieving. Lord, we pray for them today. We pray, Heavenly Father God, today will be a day that they will say, man, I'm going to mark this day down on my calendar because something great happened in my life on this Sunday. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll heal the sick, comfort those that are grieving. Lord God, we pray that you will encourage those that are discouraged. And Heavenly Father God, that people will see you for who you are and love you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the person beside you a wave and let them know you're glad to see them. And if you're visiting, we're glad to have you with us today. One of the things that I have done for 33 years, and I think Ray has done for the same amount of time, is that we encourage people with everything that we've got to read your Bible. We encourage you to have a Bible, read the Bible, and attend service, attend Sunday school, attend Bible studies, so that you will be able to not only read the Bible, but be able to understand the Word of God. Understanding the Bible is the best thing in the world that you can understand, because the Bible applies to you in everyday life. It applies to you not only while you're here, but when you leave this world, that it tells you where you'll be going if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you where you'll be going if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it helps prepare you that you'll be able for the end of your life, but not only the end of the life, you'll be able to live a life that is full, a life that is full of joy, a life that is full of the abundance of the peace of Almighty God, and that you'll be able to have life and have it more abundantly. When you read the Bible, it's very important to understand the background behind the writer, to just pick up the Bible and say, okay, I'm just going to read these chapters today and I'm just going to jump in and not understand the background behind the writer, then it's very hard to get the meat of what they're trying to say. It's also a great help to get to know the writer themselves, do a little background on the writer, and also get to know their style, their way of writing, because when you get to know all that, it helps you understand the Word of God. It's important to know why they're writing in the first place. What are they dealing with? What are they focusing on? What is the purpose of this letter or these scriptures that the Holy Spirit has inspired them to write? The writer of 1 John, of course, is the Apostle John. The Apostle John, when you get to this part, is the last remaining apostle or disciple that actually walked with the Lord, that actually talked with the Lord, that was actually called by the Lord. And so he is not one that heard about Christ. He is one that worked right alongside of Christ. He knew him in a very personal way. He knew him in a very intimate way. John was a pastor shepherd that was in charge of churches known back then as Asia Minor. Today we would know them as Turkey. But John was particularly responsible for the church at Ephesus. He was one that was very responsible for that church because that was the mother of the churches that had been planted out of there. John also, or the church at Ephesus, was planted earlier by the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. Earlier on, he had planted that church. While Paul was there, this is telling you why this is written, so that why we're digging into it, that while Paul was at that church at Ephesus many, many years earlier, there was a prophecy or divine revelation that was given to Paul saying that there would come a time when false teachers and heresy would come into the church, and these false teachers would bring false doctrine and try to destroy everything that he had built up, everything that the Lord had done. And so they were to be on the lookout. They were to be watching out because this prophecy would become a reality. John is writing. When John writes, it's years later. It has become a reality. John now is facing the things that he was told would happen from an earlier prophecy about false teaching and false doctrine. John, being the pastor shepherd of that church or those churches, had to stand against the errors that they were teaching. He could not just say, what will be, I taught them right, they should have listened, but he had to stand against the errors with the truth. He had to stand against it, that they would know this is the truth, this is what is real, and this is what God is expecting. The first error that he had to go against was the error that they were teaching about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Incarnation refers to God coming to this earth in the body of a man and walking on this earth, born of a virgin, growing up on this earth, walking among people, living among people. So the incarnation is simply put God putting on an earth suit and coming to this earth, and walking, talking, and dealing with people for the years that he was here. These people that had came into the churches were teaching and believing in the deity of Christ, but they did not believe in the humanity of Christ. They did not believe that God ever came to this earth in a body. They did not believe that God ever walked upon this earth in a body. They didn't believe that. They believed that he was a phantom, or Jesus Christ was a phantom. They believed that he was some type of spirit. The reason they believed that is because their beliefs was the body is evil. And if the body is evil and God doesn't have fellowship with evil, why would he ever put on a body and come to this earth? And so that was their argument, is that God doesn't have anything to do with evil. Why would he do that? So John starts his letter out. And when he starts his letter out, he comes out like a racehorse coming out of a stall. And this is what he says. Jesus was from the beginning. We have heard him speak. We have seen him with our own eyes. And our hands have handled him. In other words, he is saying, you're teaching the people that Jesus was a phantom, but I'm here to tell you that I'm an eyewitness and I'm proof that Jesus Christ was real, that he had a human body, that he was born of a virgin, that we talked to him, we saw him with our eyes, we heard him with our ears, we felt his heartbeat upon our chest, and we know that he came to this earth and indeed had a human body. Now you look at that and you say, why would anybody teach such a thing as that? Why would they teach that Jesus did not have a human body? Why would they go to that extreme and try to make people believe that he was a phantom or that Jesus was simply a spirit? It was very serious, because if Christ didn't have a human body, that would mean he did not have real blood, and it would mean that he didn't die a real death, and it would mean that he wasn't born of a virgin. And so basically it wipes out everything that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By removing that, removing the human body out of the picture, removing blood out of the picture that would flow through his veins, what they would be doing by teaching this and trying to convince people of that would mean that no one would ever be able to be saved. That if they could teach them that there wasn't a human body, there wasn't real blood, no one would be able to be saved. No one would have to worry about salvation. Nobody would have to worry about heaven. Nobody would have to worry about hell. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all sin. And so if you don't have the blood in a human body that died on a cross, then you and I are hopeless when it comes to getting into heaven, because no man gets to heaven except through the Father, through Jesus Christ. He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And so if they could wipe that out, then they would basically be saying, there's no way you can get there. If the devil can get people to doubt the humanity of God, He can hold them in their sins and make them live a life being convinced I can do anything I want to do, any way I want to do it. There's no penalty to sin. There's nothing that I have to worry about. I'm going to die and I'll be okay. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so John began writing with the certainty of the incarnation. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you that the Bible is a book of absolutes and the Bible is a book of certainties. You'll find that in the Bible, there are no gray areas. It's black, it's white, and Jesus' words are red. But you're not going to find any gray areas when it comes to the Word of God. And so when you think about that, you've got to understand that Jesus is one that came to this earth. He had humanity, and because he had that humanity, it tells us that it's a certain thing, that it is a certainty that Jesus Christ was alive and he will live forevermore at the right hand of the Father. And so if they could discredit Jesus, they would be discrediting the sin bearer. If we can get Jesus out of the way, we can get the sin bearer out of the way. How many of you know that in the world today, the world doesn't care what God you talk about as long as you don't talk about Jesus Christ? As long as you leave Jesus' name out of the picture, you're okay. You can talk about Muhammad and Buddha. You can talk about anybody else you want to talk about, but Jesus Christ is very offensive to people, and they don't want to hear that. And the reason that they don't want to hear that is because when you talk about Jesus Christ, by him saying that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me, it means if they can get around a Jesus Christ figure, and they can get around Jesus Christ, then it really and truly means they have no problem. They can do anything they want to do any way they want to do it. And so Buddha can't do anything to him because he's dead, and nobody else can do anything to him. But there's one living God by the name of Jesus Christ that still has power and still has authority. When you think about a person, a person will never understand forgiveness if they don't understand the penalty of sin. If you don't understand the penalty of sin, you'll never understand the meaning of forgiveness. If you don't experience the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ gives into your life, then you'll never understand what prison is all about and being locked in a prison. A person will never understand bondage until they experience freedom. But once you experience freedom, you'll see how the devil had you bound. You'll see how the devil had your hands tied, how he had your heart tied, how he had your life tied down. Because once you experience the freedom of that, then you look back and say, I've been living in bondage most of my life. And so John was dealing with teachers coming into the church denying the reality of sin. Not only denying the reality of the humanity of Jesus, they were denying the reality of sin. You don't have to worry about it. It'll be okay. In verses 5 through 10, John will mention the word sin over and over again. Matter of fact, you read John's writing, you're going to read a lot about sin. And the reason that you're going to read so much about sin is because he is teaching the reality of sin, that sin is real, that people are sinners until they know Jesus Christ. And so he is going to give the certainty of sin. And so here's this verse again, and I want you to get it in your spirit. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Today, the entire focus is going to be on this verse, and I pray that this verse will get into your spirit and it'll stay there. When John says that we have heard from him, we means all the other disciples and apostles that had lived along with him. He says that we have heard from him. He is saying the message that I'm going to give you is not something I made up. It's not something I read. This is something God gave me. This is something that I am speaking to you as the very oracles of God. And so as I write these words, it is God speaking through the writing that he has given me. The message is God is light. That's the message. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. To explain to them the reality of sin, John begins by talking about the nature of God. So when you start reading this, put it together, and he starts out by talking about the nature of God. Because when you understand what the nature of God is, you'll understand what sin is all about. You'll understand the reality of sin. Matter of fact, when you read Matthew's writing, Mark's writing, and Luke's writing, they write about what Jesus did. They write about things Jesus did. They write about the encounters that he had. But John's writing is different. When you start reading the writings of John, John's not talking about what Jesus did. He's not talking about what Jesus is going to do. John spends his time talking about who Jesus is. And so he wants you to know not just what he did, not just what he will do, but who he is.
When people get saved and we give them a Bible, I always tell people on my part, I tell them, go to the book of John, in the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John, because John is all about who Jesus is. This is the person you're serving. This is the one that you have given your life to. And so John's focus is on who Jesus is. He wants people to know his nature and not just his works. In the Gospel of John, right after Luke, in John 4:24, John tells us that God is spirit. Right there, he talks about the nature of God, that God is spirit. Then when you get to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he tells you that God is light. Again, he's talking about the nature of God. Then as you read on in 1 John 4:8, he says that God is love. Everything he says is talking about the nature of God. And so John is one that wants his readers to know, who is this one that is called Jesus Christ? When John says in verse 5 that God is light, in that word light, he is revealing many facets of the nature of God. And so he uses the word light, and he's talking about it, and he's saying, I'm going to reveal to you some facets of the nature of God. Make sure when you read this, you don't read the words and say it wrong. Make sure you read it properly, because it doesn't say that God is like a light. John says God is light. And it's a major difference in being like something and being something. And so he says God is light. But what does it mean when he says that God is light? And I want to show it to you in two ways. One way I never ever knew until just the other day. But I want to show it to you in two different ways. What does it mean when we read in the scriptures, God is light? In the Bible, as you go through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, in Scripture, light and darkness are very familiar symbols. As you read through, you're going to find you hear light, you hear darkness, darkness, light. And you read through the Bible and you'll see those words repeatedly. Light in the Bible refers to biblical truth. And so when you're talking about light, you're talking about biblical truth. And so when John is saying God is light, you could say it like this: God is biblical truth. Then darkness refers to falsehood or error. Light refers to holiness or purity. So you can say God is holy and God is pure. Darkness refers to sin and wrongdoing. Light speaks of the glory, the radiance, the beauty, and the wonders of God. So you read that verse of Scripture and it would say that God is light, God is glorious, God is radiant, God is beautiful, God is wonderful, and there's the wonders that come from Almighty God. My oldest son and I spent some time together yesterday. We were driving east, and as we were driving east, it was very, very dark. And then we saw the light start to come up from the east. And as we saw that sun starting to come up, where we'd been riding in the truck with headlights and bright lights and everything else, suddenly that sun starts coming up. And when that sun started rising up, that darkness had to get out of its way. It's the fact that when that light started appearing, that glorious and that splendor light was something that where we had been working, looking right into darkness, suddenly we were looking into the ball of that sun, and it was radiant and it was magnificent. And where we had had headlights on, we cut those off and put sunglasses on because it was beaming through the windshield of that truck. And so I want you to understand that light is something that is absolutely beautiful. It is something that is magnificent. It is glorious. And every time the sun comes up and you look in the east and you see the sun coming up, you ought to look at it and say, God is glorious. God is beautiful. And God is wondrous, because you see it in the beauty of the sun that is rising. That sun overcomes the darkness. There's something else about light. Light is self-revealing. Clean something in the dark. Clean all you want to in the dark. Clean with a match. Clean with a spotlight. I mean, a little bitty flashlight. Clean something. You look at it and go, well, that thing looks really good. Take it outside and see what it looks like. It's the fact when you get it out to the light and the light starts shining on it, you realize that thing don't look as good as I thought it did. How many of you know when you lived in darkness, when you, Lord, put the light in you, you didn't look as good as you thought you did? It was something there that you saw things you didn't think you'd ever see, because the light is self-revealing, and light reveals what darkness hides. Light reveals flaws. Light reveals impurities. Light speaks of the purity of God. Light is a great cleanser. Light guides people. Light points out the path we should be on. And light gives us courage. That when you can say, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, it gives you courage to keep going, even though you'd want to quit somewhere along the way. As you read the Old Testament, you will see that God appeared or manifested himself as light. When Moses went on the mountain to meet the presence of God, the presence of God got on him, got on his face. And Moses, when he came down off the mountain, his face was shining. His face was beaming with the reflection of the light of Almighty God. When God led the children of Israel out of bondage, he led them with a cloud by day, and he led them with a fire by night, meaning there was a light in the sky that they would be able to follow. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16 says, "The blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light." And not only is God light in himself, he is the source of our light. When you look at Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." This means that God is light, and he grants that light to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you accept Jesus Christ, the light doesn't just come on, the light comes in. And when the light comes in and you become a child of the living God, you wonder why people do the things they do and live the way they live. And why can't they see themselves? Why can't these people that does all this shooting, why can't they see themselves? The people that are killing themselves with drugs and alcohol, why can't they see themselves? And I'm going to tell you why. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, it says, "The God of this age," speaking of Satan, "has blinded the minds of the unbelieving in order that they might not see the light." That's why you pray for your unsaved loved ones. You pray for your city and your country and your nation and the world, because Satan has put blinders on people. You see it, but they can't see it. And until they see it, they will never change. And the God of this age has blinded them to what he is doing to their life, their home, their marriages, their finances, and their eternal destiny. Satan works tirelessly, never sleeps. He works tirelessly to keep people in the dark, works tirelessly to keep people from the light, works tirelessly to keep people out of the Word of God, works tirelessly to keep them out of the house of God, works tirelessly to keep people from turning on messages that come from God, because he knows that if the message goes out and the Word goes out, it never returns void. And if he can keep you from the message, he can keep you from the light. And so he does everything that he can to destroy you. Colossians 1:12 says, "God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 5:8 says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light. Ye in the light in the Lord, walk as children of light." 1 Peter 2:9 says, "God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." And what does that mean? That means that in the world we're living in, we cannot go out into the world and not beam forth the message of Jesus Christ. The light has got to shine in our ways, in our talk, in our actions, in our walk, in our disposition, in our attitude. We are the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we walk into a dark room, we ought to light that room up with the power of the Holy Spirit, by somebody seeing there is something in you that is different. There is something in you that is standing out, and that's the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The better we know the light, the better we reveal the light. I was trying to teach this to you today, but my voice is starting to raise. When John says God is light, now this is the part I want you to get, because I'm trying to keep myself calm. When John says God is light, there is more to it than what I just said. When John says that God is light, everything I said is true. Everything I said applies to us. Everything I said is powerful. But when John says that God is light, there's more to it than you would get by just simply comparing light and darkness. There's more to it than simply saying, "Oh, God is light. Okay, when I'm in the dark, and then blah, 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 God is light." More to it. I want you to see what the difference is. What John is really saying here is not the fact of let's compare darkness and light. You get that from the Gospel of John. That's after Luke, chapter 1, verse 4. And this is where John tells you what he's talking about. He says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I'm not really convinced the first two congregations got this. So if I have to go over this 14 times, I'm going to make sure you get it before you leave here. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me say it one more time. I want you to hold it in your spirit. In him was life, 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 and the life was the light of men. What is John saying? John is defining life as light. In that verse of scripture, he is defining life as light. We'll say it one more time. I'm going to convince myself that I convinced you. John is saying, and he is defining life as light. Another way to say it is, John is saying light equals life. Light equals life. Now I got a cold chill up my spine. I think I finally got it across, right? Light equals life. I'm going to say it one more time. Life equals life. Say it yourself. There you go. Do you realize that people and things on this planet could not survive without light? Light. All energy that is used by life is derived by the sun. Light. So by that, we also see, or we see, that light and life are linked together. You get it? Life, light is linked together. When we talk about God is light, when we say God is light, and you cannot survive without light, you cannot live without light, you cannot have food without light, you got to have light. And when we say that God is light, we're talking about God as the source of all life. That God is the source of all life. And so light, as John presents it, is the eternal life of God. God is light. It means that God is life. It means that God is the source. God is the creator. God is the sustainer. God is the provider. God is everything that you have in your house, on your body, in your being. It all came from God, because God is light, and you can't make it without light. You can't have life without light. Light. I don't know why I just did that, but so I want to read 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 this way. And I want you to hear it this way. When you hear what John is saying, here's the same verse that I've read to you. This is the message which we have heard from God and declare to you, that God is life. That God is life. And then he says, and in him. See those three words? And in him. The words "and in him" or "in him" are the words that are most common used in the scripture as a follower of Jesus Christ. That means that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ and you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you confess your sins at an altar somewhere or a tree stump, and you confess your sins, you repent of those sins, you become in him. It means that you're not just somebody, you become in Christ. In Christ refers to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means I'm not a distant cousin, I'm not a redheaded stepchild. I am in him, and he is in me, and I have a personal relationship. It is real, dynamic. So let's take verse 1. Let's read it again. As we dissect it and put it back together again, look at it now. Verse 1 goes on to say this. Verse 1 goes on to say, in him, personal relationship, is no darkness at all. Now you've had light. And light represents what? Darkness here now comes in. And when you look at darkness, you need to understand that since light refers to life, then darkness refers to what? Death. You getting it? Since light refers to life and darkness refers to death, what is John saying? Now let me read the verse to you again, and let's add this part to it. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, and here it comes once and for all, that God is life, and those who have a personal relationship with him will never experience death, but they will have eternal life. That you don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about the grave. You ain't got to worry about being embalmed. You ain't got to worry about being cremated. When you have him in your life, you will not experience death. Goodbye down here. Hello up there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I ain't got to worry about it. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. It's the fact that I won't experience it. You get that? You ain't got to worry about it, baby. Put me in a tin can. Set me on the mantle. I don't care. Bury me in a vending machine. I don't care. Because I ain't going down, I'm headed up. It's the fact to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in him, when I have a personal relationship, death may see me, but I'm not going to see death. Isn't that a neat thing? When I'm in him, I ain't got to worry about where I'm going to go when I'm leaving here. I ain't got to worry about all that morbid stuff. All I got to do is be able to close my eyes, say, death, you've been defeated. 2,000 years ago, I have him in me, and I am in him, and there is no death at all. So why is it important to understand the reality of sin? Because if you don't understand the reality of sin, you'll never understand you're a sinner. And if you don't understand you're a sinner, you never understand you need to be saved by grace. Grace comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace, or blood, is one of the most beautiful pictures of grace. That I shed my blood so you don't have to. I went in a tomb so you wouldn't have to. I came out on the third day so you know you don't have to go in on the first day. I have done everything that needs to be done, and when you have me, you have it all. And that's what John is saying. And if you don't realize that sin is real, then how will you ever get to heaven without the blood of Jesus on your life? God is life, and in him there is no death at all. That's good preaching for 11 o'clock right there. That's good preaching. The Lord's good. The Lord's good. Lord's good. Lord's good. That was not me patting myself on the back. It was me giving God a high five behind me because he's been there all day long. God is good. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Sin is real. Death is real. Eternity is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. It's real, 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 real. Life is short. Eternity is forever. And so John says, if you want to go to heaven, there's something that you need to understand. God is life. And if you're in him, if you're in him, doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're in him. You have a relationship with him. And there's no darkness at all. There's no death at all. We just go to heaven. We just go to heaven if we're ready to go to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a problem. But that problem can be fixed right here, right now, by asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, by simply saying, Lord, I want to be in you, in you, in you, Lord, in you. Sing that if you would. Attitude of prayer, please. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just attitude of prayer.
Jesus, Jesus, there's just something Jesus.
Here today, and again, if you just stay in an attitude of prayer, perhaps there's somebody here today and you don't have life, you have existence. And the reason that you don't have life is because you're not in the light. And until you get in the light, you're basically just existing. You're just going from thing to thing, situation to situation. But when the light comes in, life comes in, joy comes in, peace comes in, a reason to live comes in. When the light comes in. And perhaps you're here and you've dodged every bullet, if you want to call it that, for every sermon and every time somebody's tried to reach your life. But today it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you, saying, no, this isn't the preacher talking, this is me. This is God speaking, saying, look, you're living in the darkness. You don't have life. As long as you're in that darkness, you won't experience the life. Is there anyone here today that would say, this is my day to come out of darkness? This is my day to say, goodbye, world. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Is there anybody here that you slip your hand in the air? You say, this is my day. This is my day. This is my day. Last Sunday, there were people that raised their hand that I didn't see. So there could be people raising their hand today that I can't see. These lights are pretty bright. So I'm going to pray a prayer with you. And that prayer is the start of it all. It doesn't take a lot. It's not a long introduction to Jesus. Sometimes when we introduce ourselves to somebody, we tell them everything about us. What school we went to, who we're kin to. Jesus, he didn't like that. All you have to say to be introduced to Jesus is, forgive me of my sins, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins, a sinner. And I'm going to ask you, with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, one more time, I'm going to ask people to pray that prayer with me. To pray that prayer with me. And here we go. I'm going to lead you. Dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all my past. I want life. I want life. So I invite you in my life today. And I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability, starting right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Those of you that watch through the internet, if there's one of you that said that prayer today, I want you to send me a message saying, Pastor, I prayed that prayer today, because I want to get in touch with you, send you a Bible where you can grow in the Lord. Is there anybody in this building that prayed that prayer for the very first time today, or someone that had backslidden and you give your life back to the Lord today? Would you slip your head in the air? That you say, Lord, today I have come home. I'm back in the light today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Walk in the light. Be the light. And people see shining in this big old world. I love you and I appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We pray you are blessed by God's word. For more information on Tree of Life Ministries, you can visit tolm.net or you can follow us on social media at TOLM Lynchburg. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your family and friends. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.